talking, cause you know we got some problems. So tune on in the way we talk and how to solve them. We may laugh, we may learn, we might be your games, Miss and P.
Hi, Riley.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Just woke up, but good.
Thank you for coming on. Yeah, so you're in New Zealand right now, right?
Yeah, I am.
What time is it?
7 a.m.
Ooh. It looks bright out already.
Yeah, blue skies today. That's good, positive.
Thank you so much for coming on, and thanks for getting up early for us. We really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me. Honestly,
so we'd love to, like, we'll just dive right in. How are you enjoying it there so far?
I love New Zealand. I absolutely love everything about it, just like the area, the people. It's true, and I've heard this a lot before I kind of came here, but New Zealand is literally a miniature Canada, and that to me is so cool, with the landscape and everything like that. So it's been great. And then on top of that, the Phoenix itself, the club, probably one of the most professional clubs that I've been at. And that's to say a lot because I was at Liverpool. But the way the admin work, the facilities we have, the scheduling, everything that I've been a part of so far has been top notch. And it's just amazing to be a part of.
That's awesome. Are you like immersing yourself in the culture and eating, you know, different things or different specialties that you've never had before?
I'm trying my best to. So it's a bit different here as like, they have obviously just the Kiwis, right? And they have the Maori traditions and stuff. So I actually joined our like cultural group so that I could be sure to learn a little bit more and actually have an influence in that. But I've been trying to connect with different people to see like the language, for example, and learning different terms, just like greetings and whatnot. In regards to food, it's actually very similar to back home, which is really nice. But there's just little things like certain chocolates that I'm really a fan of right now. Like Whitaker's chocolate has the chokehold on me like no other. But yeah, I'm just trying to dabble and get adapted to everything. And it's been a really smooth process. So I'm really happy about that.
Well, I want to dive right into this because this is such an important part of your journey. And I think a lot of people will just be able to learn from you and your outlook and everything. But on social media, a lot of people may have seen the post go around about your comeback game, what, 2 years after a pretty serious and almost fatal accident. And we were wondering if you felt comfortable talking about, you know, that story and what happened to you and what your comeback was like, because to be able to come back from anything, let alone something so serious where you didn't even know if you'd be able to play again, let alone function, you know, like you used to, is incredible. And we'd love to hear your perspective on it.
Yeah, 100%. I'm completely open with it. So ask away and I'll answer.
So I guess, could you tell people what happened? And then I would love to know your thought process in the moment of when everything was at the lowest of lows, and then how it maybe changed throughout your comeback in the journey to getting back on the field.
Yeah. So essentially, in a brief synopsis, I went to Finland to visit a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a while, and he had a surprise planned out for me. I didn't know what it was, really excited. So we all hopped in the car at the after his game at the end of the night and started going to the city of Helsinki. And needless to say, I didn't make it to Helsinki, but we were on our way to see Drake in concert. And that would have been a really cool moment for myself. But unfortunately, the weather had turned. We got in a car accident on the way in. And it was a single vehicle accident, so just us, five people were in the car. And in the midst of the chaos, I was ejected from the car. I was wearing my seatbelt. The bruises on my chest proved it. But unfortunately it did not do, I guess, its job, perfectly. And I was ejected to the windshield, where I sustained 7 fractures to my upper cervical spine. So my C1 and my C2 were 7 pieces. And then I had 2 fractures in my lower back. I had a brain bleed. I did some damage to my knee, just, partial tear of the MCL, tore my quad tendon, and I had a femoral bone bruise, and then a couple other things like a face fracture. Just those are minor. But yeah, so that was all the injuries present at the time. In the moment when I was at my lowest, I can't really explain the thought process. One, because you're so heavily medicated to reduce pain, but also you're trying not to actually manifest the reality that you're living in. So for me personally, it was just, remember when I got the halo on, or when the doctor told me I had to put the halo on, and I looked at my mom and I just said, I'm screwed. And that was kind of it. And I broke down. But that was like the only time I broke down, which is really odd, because through probably a year and a half, I didn't cry. And that's just a bit bizarre. But I remember thinking to myself a lot that, like, what am I going to do if I can't play? Who am I? And that really challenged me. I didn't enjoy that feeling of not knowing my identity outside of the football pitch. And I guess it was an awakening, to say the least, because as footballers, especially at the highest level in elite sport, we've consumed our lives to be who we are and get to where we are, but we've never really had time to focus on who we are as an individual. So it was an opportunity that I got to dabble in and experience for myself. Meanwhile, my life is dark as ever, but it was, I was trying to be as positive as possible, and it was hard. I would have to say that it was very hard.
I feel like people can go through, you know, their soccer journey and they can feel it starting to slip away, or like they're getting closer to retirement. And then you're like, you're having this process of coming to terms with who you are off the field. But for like in the blink of an eye, while you're in the middle of your professional career, for that to just be ripped away from you, and not even, you can't even brace yourself for, you know, the just the mental battle of, yeah, who am I if I don't have this game anymore to come back to, is crazy.
Yeah.
And that's a really good training to people to start to maybe, you know, to figure that out, figure out who you are without soccer.
Yeah, it was crazy to even think about it. I remember sitting there going, I'm 23 years old and I may have to medically retire. I was 23 years old and I was almost paralyzed. And to reflect on that and sit there and go, holy crap, what have I done with my life? Not that I didn't do anything with it. I was a very obviously successful in the sporting world, big family person, but it just really made me reflect on my impact and my identity. But I'm so fortunate that I didn't really have to fully commit to the plans that I had in place to go further. I'm just lucky that I have myself as a solid person to think that far ahead and not just rely on the fact that I'm going to be miraculously okay, but also my people around me. Like, it was amazing.
Did your doctor or doctors say you're not going to be able to play again, or were they very hesitant to give you that, you know, hope that you could play again? And if so, like, how did you want to know how you got through it and how you got yourself back onto the pitch?
Yeah, like when I went to Liverpool after Finland, and the doctor called me on an emergency procedure, I thought I was just getting scanned. So when I was told that he was putting the halo on, he straight up said to me, you're probably never going to play again. And this halo is not going to work. Like, he was convinced that the halo was just a saving grace moment. He's like, he says, I'm going to throw the last thing at this. Because the reality was, he should have taken me in to surgery and fused my skull to my spine, which I would have lost my full range of motion, flexion, extension, rotation, everything, and lost my independence to life. And he didn't want to jump right at the gun and do that because I was 23 years old. I was an athlete, and he had a little bit of hope that it could work. But the journey was long in regards to that. Like, I remember going for scans. I was in the hospital every 2 weeks getting my screws tightened, which just sounds so grim. Getting my screws tightened to my skull.
And I now know where that saying comes from. Your screws?
Yeah, like
your head. Wow. Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you.
No, you're good. But so yeah, get them tightened every 2 weeks, and then also being scanned probably every 4 weeks. So we could see the progress not progressing for a really long time. And that was when I was sitting there going, oh crap, like this really isn't going to work. And I'll be like quite bluntly honest, I was convinced in my mind that I wasn't going to make the comeback. Like there was no way. I was just begging for like a quality of life. I didn't know how I was going to be when the halo came off. I didn't know what I was going to be able to do. But when the appointment that we had, what was it like? So I got the halo off, I want to say March 1st of 2022. Not that anyone remembers dates in this world. But I remember like a month before that, they said, oh, like the growth isn't, it's not happening. But then 2 weeks before I got the halo off, they said, oh my gosh, like everything's fused together besides one piece. And I was like, there's no way in 2 weeks life could change that fast. But it did. So in that moment, I kind of sat there and reflected to myself on the way home from the hospital thinking, I was somehow able to survive the accident. I was thrown out a window. No one knows how far I flew. Literally should have died in that moment. Like if you've seen the car, like I shouldn't be alive, let alone flying out a window. Humans can't fly. It doesn't work. Breaking my neck at the most vulnerable point in my body. My spinal cord not being affected at all, besides a little bit of inflammation, which healed in like 3 days. And now I'm sitting here and I'm being told my neck healed. And I thought, okay, I can't really give up in this moment. I got to actually put a valiant effort towards my comeback. But I was very realistic and I thought like, you know what, I can put everything I have into it. I may not get the outcome I want, but at least I can say I gave it 100%. And that was my biggest thing. I didn't want to leave the football pitch with no regrets. Right. I wanted to leave the football pitch with no regrets. And I didn't want to feel like I didn't give 100% of my effort to be the best version of myself, but also to make the comeback that everyone literally in the world was waiting on.
So I'm curious, was that your moment where like you saw the light at the end of the tunnel where it gave you the belief that you could, or when you decided to dive deep into your recovery, did you have another moment where you were like, all right, I actually think I could get back?
Yeah, I think that moment was like the commitment to attempt to get back, with the realistic approach saying like it may not work, but like with the end goal being hopefully I can play again. I remember being in rehab and I started curling weight with my neck, which not many people do, but that was the progression. I remember laying on the end of the bed with this like 20 kilograms hanging off the side of my head thinking, if I'm going to do this, like surely I'm going to be back on the pitch. Like, there's no way. So that was one moment. And there was a lot of lows in that rehab. I had a lot of setbacks, but it was closer to the end. And I remember being told by a staff member at Liverpool that, like, it's okay if I don't come back. Like, you don't have to do this for everyone. And then they also said, no one's expecting that return. You could tell that no one wanted, like not wanted, but no one thought I was going to be able to do it. So then I kind of just said, screw you guys. Like, I'm doing it. And it was after that where I was just like, I'm going to be the best version of myself. I'm going to go and push for whatever is possible. And I guess here we are.
I love that. That's like the true competitive nature of the athlete. I feel like if someone tells you you can't, you're like, I'm going to do it. So
yeah.
In the end, they didn't believe in you because you had enough belief in yourself. So that's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd love to know. So you said there was times when you had lows during that. What advice would you give to other athletes who have injuries and are feeling those lows pretty badly at the time? Is there any tips that you would give them to get through that?
Yeah, I think for me personally, what helped me get through the roller coaster of emotions, experiences, highs and lows was the fact that every day brings a new challenge. Every day is a new experience. And the more we think about what's coming or what's happened, the less time and mental capacity we have to think about what's actually occurring in the moment. And my biggest value and kind of frame of like mindset was, I need to enjoy what I'm experiencing right now. I need to experience it wholeheartedly and think about it and embrace it, because let's be real, I was going through something that no one else was going through. And injuries is one of those things that majority of the population doesn't get to experience, especially when it's our careers, or aiming to be our careers. So to experience every single day and actually sit in it and absorb it and not worry about tomorrow, because you can't, there's no way in heck you can change what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't fix what just happened yesterday. And it sounds so cliche, but it's the reality that I was living in. And to me, that kept me on track. That kept me in the moment, experiencing the highs and the lows and the emotions that came with everything and actually feeling it rather than like pushing it aside and trying to be this like resilient character that everyone wants to see. Like behind closed doors, and majority of the time I was actually just like going through the motions of what I was feeling and embracing it and talking about it with my family and my people around me. So I'd say that was probably the biggest thing. But then the second thing I would also encourage is to actually talk. There's one thing to just talk, be like, yeah, I'm okay. But to actually talk about how you're feeling is so powerful. I'm so fortunate to have had two therapists that work with me. Well, three really, who were amazing. And I still work with one. He's like on speed dial. It's hilarious. Like something's going on in life. I'm like, hello, I need help, Mark, ASAP. Like, but it's also your family and the people who are close to you, because they too are struggling. And the more you don't, and the more you keep inside, the more you try to put this front up, the more curiosity, and you can just feel the energy of like, it's not negativity, but it's concern. And that's the last thing you really need. So it's just being open and honest with what's going on and what's present. It really helped me. And I can say, oh yeah, get back to the pitch. You got to work hard. You got to do this. You got to commit. But the reality is it's off the pitch, and it's in the mind that it's really important.
Yeah. It's so important to talk. Like you said, like so many players think that talking to someone and getting help is like a bad thing, and it's only going to make you a better player, and it's going to make you enjoy life so much more. And it's just so important to just speak to someone whenever you're feeling the feelings, because like you said too, you were going through the emotions, and you should, like, that's how you're going to get through them. So instead of like pushing them away, just talking to someone and just like talking to your family and having your friends close, it's so important, and it makes you such a healthier player. And it's probably why you were able to get through such a hard time. And now that you're playing, do you, like, I would imagine a player who's gone through an injury like you can play scared, but do you think that you play confidently? And what's your mindset now playing, knowing you had this big injury or injuries?
Yeah, it's crazy, because I think every team that I was trialing with and every coach that I talked to was kind of curious in the same thing. Like, no one really knew what the response was going to be back, and I didn't know. But I can, like, confidently say I am playing as the best version of myself. Like, it is so exciting. I go out there, I don't think, which is, like, most people would find that concerning. But, like, I'm just playing freely. I'm enjoying myself. I'm, like, I'm in the now. I'm playing. I'm happy. I don't have fear going to balls. Like, I'm a goalkeeper, and you would think I'd be scared to put my head in front of something. Like, I just reconstructed everything. Like, I have no hesitation. But what's more exciting is that I'm actually just enjoying the game for the first time in a really long time. Like, you don't realize how robotic you become when you're in a system like this, and how much pressure and politics there are in the game. But with my frame of mind now and how I'm enjoying the game, like, I don't feel that. I actually just, like, not that I don't care, but like, I'm just like, hey, I'm alive. I'm playing the game. Like, it's going to happen. Obviously, I get mad when we lose. I don't want to see that. But I get to play the game. I get to have fun. This is my job. Like, this is so fun. So yeah, I would say there's no hesitation. There's no scared, like, mentality. I'm braver than ever. And I'm literally playing the best I've probably ever played, action-wise, physically, but also mentally, which is super important.
Isn't that crazy? Like, you bring up such a good point, how it can become sort of robotic. And of course, at the professional level, there's so many more things that go into it. But even at the collegiate level, high school level, it can become monotonous. You know, you're practicing, you're doing waking up, doing the same thing every day, and you can kind of get a little bit lost in the routine of it. But for something to kind of grab you and shake you back alive and snap you out of that monotony probably gives you such like a brighter perspective on just everything. I'm so happy to hear that you've had, like, I'm not so happy to hear that you got hurt in the way that you were hurt, but to have a comeback like that and to have rehabbed not only your physical body, but like your mental side equally, like put as much emphasis and importance on both of those things, I think is why you're just back and like unstoppable. I think that's just the best comeback story ever.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely like, I don't know, a lot of people question the mental side of things, but I knew my body was going to respond in a way. I just knew something had to have happened, whether I was going to be playing again or not. But I was more focused on getting my mind back to where it needed to be. And I'd be lying to you if I said, like, I'm 100%. I'm not 100%. Yeah, there's still things I struggle with. And one of the biggest things I'm realizing now is when you literally defeat the odds, when you survive the Grim Reaper, face death and come back, and then you go through the 2-year rehab, you hit a low. And, like, everything just stops for a second. Yeah, you got everything you worked hard for, but all of a sudden you're like, whoa, like, what's happening? And I experienced that in the last month. I was just not low as in, like, what's going on with my life, but low as in, like, whoa, I just feel stagnant. And I've put all my energy into working for something, which is so rewarding. But then all of a sudden you're like, well, now what? Now I've done it. Now what? So it's definitely a learning experience that I'm going through, and just a lot of reflection and like, yeah, communicating a lot and just trying to express myself in the best way possible.
When you get that feeling of like, now what? I don't know if your therapist has any advice for that, or if you have any advice, like what do you do to not feel that low then? Is there like a new goal or something? Or
yeah, a lot of it's goal setting. I chatted to my therapist. I said, like, I literally sometimes I'm just saying, no one talks about the lows after making the biggest comeback in sporting history. And that was like literally the quote. And he replied with a bunch of stuff saying, hey, do you want to chat? And I was like, no, I don't need a like one-on-one chat right now. It's just like vocalizing my thoughts. And one of the things he mentioned was, we need a goal. And I was like, well, yeah, he goes, but you need a goal that's like astronomically like crazy, like things that people probably wouldn't even think you'd be thinking. And we came to the conclusion that like, I've been pushing for the Olympics. I was so close last time. Obviously was injured for the World Cup. So really pushing to be back with Canada in the Olympics. And that was the ultimate goal of my rehab. But now it's pushing it one step further. Can you be the flag bearer? Can you be the person holding up the trophies and the medals and being that person in the squad? And when I sat back and thought of it, it was really powerful, because that goes to show the journey of being literally on below ground zero, rock bottom, and now coming back to the very top and the probably one of the highest levels of sport and one of the most honorable moments of a athlete's career who gets to participate in the Olympics. So goal setting was a big one. But also being busy in a different way. So I've literally spent 6 hours a day in rehab every single day for 2 years. And now I'm like, whoa, I have all this time and all this energy. Like, what do I do with it? And I was investing it in other things at the time. So I was going to like doing schooling. I took the LSAT because I was bored, like stupid things like that, that aren't really stupid, very intelligent. But now it's okay, how can I get part? Like, how can I get that same stimulus? So now I'm trying to direct my energies into different areas. Like, I'm giving 100% the pitch, but when I'm off the pitch, it's time to embrace who I am and what I want to do. And all that work that I did to kind of discover myself now needs to be put into application. So a lot of it for me was just getting involved in the community here in Wellington. In the back of my mind right now, I actually am planning a Christmas event for the community and that kind of stuff to help others, because so many people around the world have helped me and I owe infinitely to everyone else who's helped me. So this is kind of my way of giving back, but also keep my mind busy and making sure that I'm giving attention to all aspects of who I am as a person.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like you really have to connect with like finding your purpose. And I feel like it sounds like you are on you're in that path right now. Like, those goals that you hit are going to come and go, but like, what's your purpose and what's your identity without soccer? And it sounds like you're immersing yourself with the community stuff is like such a huge one. That is purpose. And that's just so wonderful. We're just so, I don't know, we're so lucky to speak to you and that you're here and paving the way for players who are going to go through the same situations. And you're just such an inspiration. And we just can't thank you enough for like taking the time to talk to us and share your story.
That was amazing. I really appreciate everything that you're very inspiring. And I'm so excited to continue to watch your career and everything you do on and off the field. So we just really appreciate it. And I'm sure anyone listening is going to come away with something and learn something. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it, Riley.
Appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Enjoy yourself. Bye-bye.
In the Olympics next summer.
We're mad. Yes.
Bet. I'm here for it. Let's go.
Right. Take care. Have a great day. Bye.